The following segment is from the off-day debrief on the SB Nation NFL Show, where we're discussing your favorite team. Subscribe to the SB Nation NFL Show to make sure you don't miss conversations like this one.
I'm super excited because it's not every day that we get to talk to a Hall of Famer, but that day is today. We are very pleased to welcome in the Hall of Famer, the six-time All-Pro, John Randall. Good morning, John.
Good morning, guys. I've just woken up from my 360 smart bed. So let's go, baby. Let's go.
I think it is hilarious that you are joining us on behalf of Sleep Number because there is nobody that gave opposing offensive linemen more sleepless nights than you. And yet here you are now telling us how important a good night's sleep is.
Man, you got to understand, sleep is the most, I think, one of the easiest ways to get your body healthier. So by getting a proper sleep on a Sleep Number 360 smart bed will help improve it. You know, Sleep Number has partnered up with the NFL for the sleep and wellness, and we have over 2,000 NFL players using Sleep Number bed. If that doesn't tell you that it's good for you, I don't know what will.
John, just jumping into the football of it right here, one of the things that I was curious, I want to pick your brain about is, you know, obviously you had such an amazing career. Is there anyone in today's game that kind of, when you're watching it, kind of reminds you of you, or that you just have so much fun watching, especially on defense in today's NFL?
Oh, you know, I do. Mr. Ram, number 99, you see him doing it. I mean, he looks undersized. You know, it's just so great to see somebody out there playing the game who isn't 6'7", 6'8", but they keep trying to tell people that players have to be a big size, certain size to play this game. But you watch him using his hands, and that's what I love to do, was using my hand, especially against those 49ers. I mean, you know, I had so much success out there in the 49er land. I mean, I went out there, I found me some gold in that 49er land. And, thank you, 49ers. But, yeah, Aaron Donald, without a doubt, is the guy that's doing it. I mean, I think he exemplifies what you want in a pass rusher, a guy who can change the game, and he's doing it.
Why is it so rare to get an interior defensive lineman who can rush the passer? You, Aaron Donald, like you said, Warren Sapp, like there's not a lot of those guys in NFL history.
Yeah, well, a lot of time because when you're a small guy, you kind of get worn down by the double teams or you're not that good at using your hands or you don't have the proper feet to use your feet inside. Because when you get inside and with all that stuff going on, guys kind of get distracted by the offensive lineman moving. And I remember going through practice and watching numerous guys try to get it down and they couldn't. And there was this old saying that the crown is heavy. And not a lot of guys want to put that crown on and do this week in and week out. And for a guy like Aaron Donald, man, he's doing it. He's proving it. He's showing people that you don't have to be like an Andre the Giant. You can just come out there small size like a Ric Flair and do your thing.
So, John, talking about that, it kind of reminds me here of a question I had. Like, looking at not only, you know, the physical aspect of, you know, playing inside, like Stats kind of just asked you about there, but also, like, the mentality of it, I'm sure, is very tough. Was it ever about, like, trash talk to you? Like, what is the most effective trash talk maybe that you ever used on someone? Do you remember, like, trying to, like, just break someone down mentally from the inside?
I think probably one of the first time I did it, I was playing against a guy from the Raiders, Steve Wynuski. And before the game, it was going to be my first time playing against Steve. And Henry Thomas kept telling me I was he was kind of a a-hole. He would step on guys' feet. He would do this, do that. So I started reading up on the guy and I was just kind of finding out information. And I found that he lived in Houston. He lived in the Woodlands, you know, that he loved going to his Kroger's grocery store. So he kept stepping on my feet during the game, and I just got tired of him. I turned around and I go, hey, you step on my foot one more time, I'm coming to the Woodlands. I'm going to catch you and the family at Kroger's, and I'm going to do it to you and the family. And he just bucked his eyes and just put his hands up. Oh, how do you know where I live? And I just kind of walked back to the huddle, and I was like, man, this is interesting. And then I just started talking to him, and he started focusing on all his other stuff, and it just kind of took all this meanness away. But for me, it was just a way of just kind of changing the outcome of the game. One of my favorite one was against Trent Dilfer. I got him kicked out of a game for just messing with him, talking trash to him. So, you know, it has its uses, you know, and if you can find the right place to put it in there, it may help you.
That's how I became aware of your career is NFL Films. I remember watching NFL Films and they did a whole piece on you. And I was like, who is this crazy person? Your job would have been a lot easier today if you had all of social media to comb through to get material.
Oh, yeah. Dude. Back then you had these program booklets. I had to read through it. And every offseason I'm going through and finding information. And it was kind of hard, but you know, we had all these newspaper clippings I had to read through. And so, yeah, social media would have been so much easier to do it today. And, but you know, I just got lucky and I was just bored in a meeting and just kind of found information. And, you know, it has its places because for me, I think it goes back to watching Michael Jordan talking trash and Charles Barkley, you know, watching those guys on the court. You saw them at the free throw line, kind of sitting there next to each other, you know, hands on their knees, talking a little mess. And I'm like, why can't you do it in football? I mean, Deacon Jones used to talk smack, but why can't we do it today? And so I didn't care. I told guys, I'm like, hey, I'm not supposed to be here anywhere, but I'm going to get out here. I'm going to talk smack to these dudes. I've seen these guys on TV, Steve Young, you know, all these other dudes. I'm like, I'm going to talk smack to them.
Is there anyone who was like the best at giving it back to you? You know, so you were dishing it out, but is there anyone like you had really good battles with?
Oh my God. Yeah, there were several guys. Oh my God. You had Nate Newton from the Cowboys. He was good at talking smack. Let me see. Emmitt Smith would talk smack. Let's see. Jerry Rice would talk smack.
Favre.
Oh yeah. Favre. Oh, Frank Winters too. Favre center. He would talk smack. Because Frank was from like Chicago somewhere. So I thought talking smack to Frank, and he had this little squeaky voice. Hey, you can't talk to me like that. You know where I'm from? And so, but, you know, it was fun. At the end of the game, everybody kind of laughed about it and stuff. But, you know, it just made the game more exciting, and it gave NFL Films another reason to put a mic on you. But I tell you what, one of the first time they were trying to mic me up, man, I kept getting this little, like, something kept sticking me. So I told the guy, hey, something's sticking me in my back. He comes back, he goes digging my shoulder pad, comes back. He goes, it's not sticking you, it's shocking you. Like, okay.
I'm sure that's just what you needed as you're trying to rush the passer.
Yeah.
You mentioned Deacon Jones. I wanted to bring this up. There's a website, Pro Football Reference, that says they've gone back now and they've recorded 99% of the sacks going all the way back to the merger, basically. Deacon Jones is one of those guys, his whole career took place before the NFL counted sacks. Do you think that the NFL should go back now and update the record books and say like, hey, we have the sacks now, let's count all of them before 1982?
Yes, of course. I mean, here's a game that was built off the blood and sweat and tears of the guys who built this game. And those guys, I'm fortunate enough to be in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And I get to be around a lot of guys, you know, Jack Youngblood. I was around Deacon Jones, you know, God rest his soul. Those guys who are the one who built this game, they made this game what it is today. I mean, I watched those guys play. I watched them. I idolized them. I tried to hit people side to head like Deacon Jones. Of course, you get fined for that. But those are the guys who, with their blood, sweat, and tears, why not put their numbers where they belong? And, you know, it's a great game, and if it gives them more credibility, why not?
So looking at the present here, you know, the Minnesota Vikings had a down year last year, at least defensively, especially what you would expect from them. I mean, Mike Zimmer even called it the worst defense or like a bad defense. So how does that kind of happen here? Like, because it looks like the Vikings have a lot of talent on defense, but they have this bad year. In your experience, like what can go wrong, I guess, and what provides hope maybe for getting this thing back on track?
Well, if you look at last year's, our defense, we had just lost Danielle Hunter. He was out. And then we lost Everson Griffin. He was gone. And but you look at us now, Daniil's back. We got Sheldon Richardson back. And, you know, it's for us, it's given us, if anything, it's given us a chip on the shoulder that we've got guys coming back that we kind of have brought in a youth movement also. But I think overall, with Green Bay going through their troubles too also, and Detroit kind of, they're kind of rebuilding, trying to reshuffle, this is an opportunity for the Minnesota Vikings. I mean, you know, you got your San Francisco 49ers out there. I want to call them Giants because, you know, you're changing here and there. But I think for us, the Minnesota Vikings, this could be the season to look to as a year for us to be that team that everybody's got to be watching. It's, you know, we're always going to think about Kansas City, of course. And we're going to think about Tampa, but I think offense, you know, like I was saying earlier to somebody, offense scores points, but defense wins game. And I think we got the making of a nasty defense that can come out there and do some things that cause some damage and be very successful.
Between the sleep number and getting Aaron Rodgers out of your division, things should be good for Vikings fans.
Dude, if we could get everybody else except NFL teams to get on these sleep numbers 360 smart beds, it would be awesome for the Minnesota Vikings. I mean, hey, I think it's the year for purple. You know what I mean? this is a year for us. It's our turn. It's time for the Midwest. Come on.
You can hear the rest of this conversation by subscribing to the SB Nation NFL Show wherever you get your podcasts.